Pray for me, and I'm glad we can be in the house of the Lord together. And as Lucas mentioned, do pray for Pastor. I'd much rather him be up here. I love hearing our pastor preach, and ask the Lord to please touch and heal their bodies and continue to put a hedge protection around them. But I'm glad you're here. We have several visitors with us. We have some from Ohio, one from Kentucky, and a family from Seymour. Is there any other visitors that I didn't mention where you're from? And we are glad you're here. You're our honored guest. We realize you could have chosen to go anywhere else, but you chose to be here, and we hope that the services will be a blessing to you. And I want to ask you all to continue to pray for our Sunday school class that we have here Sunday mornings. We've started teaching on the family. And as I mentioned, I am no expert. I haven't figured it all out, but I have the Word of God that has it all figured out. And we're just going to do what the Bible says and teach what Jesus told us to teach. And pray for our families. Pray for our school children. They've returned to school, the majority of them, as far as I know. And talked to my grandson yesterday and today, and he went to school yesterday, first day back for Anderson County. And I said, "How was school?" He says, "Boring." and of course, he wants to learn all the time. He wants to, be challenged and with education and things of that nature. But do pray for all the students that have gone back to school. Let's pray for our teachers. Continue to pray for Brother Randy and the other teachers in the church. And ask the Lord to use them greatly to make an impact on the youth for Christ. And let's be in prayer for the teen class as they meet up in the other building. Let's ask the Lord to continue to use Brother Lucas as he leads them. And I tell you what, I'm very proud of our young people. And I praise the Lord for how he is using them. And so it's very important we pray for them. And that's our future. And should the Lord tarry his coming, we want them to be prepared. We want them to lead well and to follow Christ all the days of their life. Amen. All right, if you'll take your Bibles this evening, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse 23, and I'll read through verse 27. The Bible says here, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" When we think about this, it's amazing, even though we are in the presence of the Lord at all times, if you're saved, he is around us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, but somehow we lose sight of where he's at. And we lose sight of the fact that he knows exactly where we're at. I would ask you to look up to verse 18. It says, "Now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side." And he gave that commandment to his disciples. And we'll stop right here and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we beseech you to please meet with us tonight. Father, we're in your house. We're your people. Father, you are absolutely wonderful, holy, marvelous. Father, you're gracious. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you would minister to our hearts and our minds through your word, that the Holy Spirit would give us understanding, that you would control this service, that you would control me, Father. Lord, hide me behind the cross. I am absolutely nothing, Father. There's no authority in what I say. Father, all the authority, all that we need to know is what your word says. And I pray that you would help us, dear Lord. Lord, lead and guide and direct us. Father, please touch our hearts, stir our hearts. Help us not to be stirred only, but Lord, help us to be stirred and changed, that we can give you honor and glory for all things that are done. Lord, please be with our pastor. Please touch him. Please touch Miss Linda as well. Help them to heal. Help them to get better. We ask these things in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I did bring your attention to verse 18 because Jesus was talking to his disciples when he told them that they are going to depart to where? The other side. And I don't know if you have learned this yet in your life or not. God is always guiding our steps. He wants to. It doesn't necessarily mean we'll follow. but we can choose to follow. And I hope that you will make your mind up that you will follow the Lord all the days of your life. And how many of you realize that when he commanded his disciples that they were going to go to the other side, they had no idea that a storm was coming. They didn't have any clue about it. Some of them were seasoned sailors, fishermen. They were used to the sea. And yet this storm was something else that it even had them worried, that they thought that they were going to perish. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been in a boat, but it's always good to have water on the outside of the boat. Amen? You never want to see water continuing to grow inside the boat. But as this storm came, of course, we know the story, how that Jesus, by the way, brought this storm. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly how he was going to treat it. But he wanted his disciples to follow him. And we would do well to make up our minds tonight, if we haven't already, that wherever the Lord leads us, we will follow. Did God give Abraham all the plans and all the things that were going to happen on the journey that he called him upon? Absolutely not. He said, all right, Abraham, come on. Pretty much that's what he said. Abraham didn't say, where are we going? Abraham just followed the Lord. That's good advice for us. That's good things for us to follow and learn from. He is a hero in the book of faith, is he not? Amen. And so we think about that. But here the Lord has talked to his disciples. And one thing I can say, you know, hindsight, is if Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side, guess what they're going to do? They're going to make it to the other side. And there's been times in our lives, of course, we served as missionaries in Spain. We served in, you know, church plants. And we went out west for a few years doing pastoring out there. I knew that God had led me there, but I didn't know the storms I was going to face when I got there. Had I known about the storms, I wouldn't have gone. You say, well, that's unspiritual. You're right. But hindsight, looking at what we went through and the storms that were brought in our lives, it wasn't comfortable at all. But we have this wrong mentality like the world has, that if Jesus has called me to do something, then everything's going to go smoothly. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. The only thing that is wonderful about it is that we know the Savior is with us. He called you to it. He is going to see you through it. And we have lost sight of that. But the world thinks, hey, you know, if this is of God, everything's going to go smooth. You're not going to have any friction. There'll be no problems whatsoever. And somehow we as Christians have swallowed that. And we lose sight of the fact. Jesus said, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He promised it. Well, that's not a very good, you know, advertisement for being a Christian. But the fact of the matter is, I am thankful for what God has allowed us to do. I'm thankful for where God has led us and where God has brought us from. Because it was all according to him. And there are times that I've planned my own way. I've taken my own trips, if you will, and I've regretted it. But everything that I am assured of that he called me to, I have never regretted going. I did go through some things and experience things, just as many of you may have. You know, things that I'd rather not. Lord, we had those wedding vows for richer or poorer. What do we say? Richer, please. You know, sickness and health. Health, please. But the things are that God has a wonderful plan for you and I. As his children, he's got something for us to do. And we don't realize what's ahead of us as far as the turmoil or problems or whatever the case may be, Satan's attacks, the world's attacks. We don't know exactly where they're coming from or how they're coming, when they're coming, but we need to learn to keep our eyes on him. And one of the things that I find interesting, now, I told you, I believe in Sunday school this past Sunday, you know, God doesn't take vacations. Aren't you glad about that? God doesn't sleep. Jesus was asleep on the boat. Does that mean he wasn't God? No, no, no. He was walking on this earth. He got tired just as you and I do. He suffered all things as we do. He experienced everything that we do, yet without sin. But while this storm is coming, and by the way, yes, he's still God, even though he's 100% man. He's still God. He knew exactly what he was bringing his disciples to. And when they took note of what was happening, this ship was taking on water, and when ships take on water, it doesn't mean they float better. They sink. There's destruction coming if something is not done. And it bothered them. And especially these that were familiar with the sea. They were familiar with storms on the water. And yet it had them afraid as well. And so when it's bringing in the water into the ship, his disciples go and wake him up. He's asleep in the ship. Do you know nothing catches God off guard? God never woke up. And of course, he doesn't sleep, but he's never come to this point. Well, I didn't realize that. God knows all about it. And the sooner that we can accept that, the sooner that we can embrace that, the less stress we'll have, the less worry we'll have. How many of you worry? I do. Okay. It's natural for us to worry, but does God want us to be worrywarts? No, God wants us to trust him. And you know, the Lord did a lot of teaching and a lot of preaching using water. Using water. Whether it be from the shore, whether it be on a fishing boat where he told Peter to launch out a little so he can teach people from the boat, or when he told Peter to launch out into the deep. You know, when you go from land into the water, it's okay. You can still touch the land and you can get back to shore real quick. And you wade out a little bit deeper, it's all right as long as you can still touch. How many of you feel the same way? You know, it's okay as long as I can touch, or if I'm not too far, but then God wants us to launch out really far. And that's where we are dependent upon him. That's when faith really gets put into practice, because we can no longer trust in ourselves. We have to trust for his protection. We have to trust him that he is going to get us to where we need to be. And if you're not growing in your life in faith, you need to find out why. But God is the only person, the only entity that we can truly trust. Man will fail you. I will fail you. God will never fail you. And here he is with his disciples. The waves are coming in. The ship's, you know, obviously getting ready to sink. But his disciples come to him, awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. In other passages, you'll find, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? They actually accused the Lord of not caring that they were going to die. If we're not careful, we can have that same mindset. Lord, you don't care about me. God, if you love me, why am I facing this? How many of you have learned some things from the storms that came and started sinking your ship? Amen. You know, we need those experiences in our life to help us to grow in faith, to help us to trust him more. An acronym for faith, you probably already know it. I know I've mentioned it in times past, but you know, the word faith, you take each letter, forsaking all, I trust him. Taking each letter and using it. Have you come to that point where no matter what's going on, you just say, well, I'm just trusting God. And it's hard to do. It's easy to preach from a pulpit. It's easy to say when you're, you know, things are well, but there are times when those storms of life come. And you feel like you were just overwhelmed. You feel like you're going to be sinking down below and there's absolutely no rescue in sight. You need to trust the Lord. And listen, if you find me wavering in faith one day, remind me, hey, remember? You said we need to trust the Lord. Do we not all need reminding that we need to trust the Lord in things, that we can trust the Lord? Absolutely we do. But here they are, you know, they're coming to him. And notice his response in verse 26. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, full of fear? Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. With the fear that the disciples were going through, and by the way, it's natural fear. Human fear, it's absolutely natural, but how many times have we allowed fear to cloud our minds? We've allowed fear to cause us to doubt God. And there's a lot of things. Listen, the fear of the unknown, the fear of death. You know, we can quote Psalm 22 all we want to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But that's because we're not looking death in the face right now. Some of you are. Some of you are, and I realize that. But are you still keeping your eyes on him? And remember, the Lord walked his sheep through that valley of the shadow of death. He was with them the whole way. Has our Lord experienced death? Absolutely. He also conquered death. And that's something that ought to just excite us. But here he is. He is bringing about the problem with them. He says, why are you fearful? And then he says, O ye of little faith. How many of you could use some more faith tonight? I can. Absolutely I can. I need more faith. But do you realize that more faith, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but it also comes from going through experiences that God brings into our life. Because, oh, we trusted God and he got us through that. Or we know somebody, hey, God got them through this. Surely he'll get me through this as well. Not because we deserve it, but because of who he is. He's a God that cannot fail. And I am so happy about that. That's absolutely wonderful. But our mind, were they afraid because Jesus had failed them? No. They allowed their thoughts, they allowed the things that they were thinking upon to distract them because they were now looking at the circumstances instead of looking at Christ. Now, thankfully, they ran to Christ. Thankfully, they went to him and asked him for help, for rescue, for salvation, as far as from that storm. Remember when Peter got out of the boat, the only disciple to get out while Jesus was walking on the water? And Jesus, he said, hey, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. And he said, come. And Peter actually got out and started walking on the water until when? Until he noticed that boisterous wind blowing. Until he got his eyes off the Lord and all of a sudden he began sinking. But boy, he was smart. Lord, save me. Now, he wasn't talking about from his sins. Lord, save me from death. Lord, save me from this situation. And we still need to cry out to the Lord to save us from situations. We still need to reach out and trust him, even though maybe we got distracted. Maybe we got our mind off of him and we lost sight of who he is and how wonderful he is. And that's easy for any of us to do, preachers included. We can get discouraged. We can get distraught. We can have all sorts of things affect us mentally. But we need to be strong enough to realize the one that we need to trust is not us, not even others, but Christ alone. That's what we need. Because I know people that get fearful besides me. And if we're not careful, we'll give up on God. We'll start accusing God. Don't you care that I'm perishing? Don't you care that I'm going through it? Yes, he cares you're going through that. But he will see you through it. And I just want to remind you about that because it's very important. And this mind, this battlefield that we have in our minds, listen, Satan wants to get in there too. Satan did it with Eve in the garden. He got her to start doubting the word of God. What she knew about the Word of God. And he'll try to get you to do that, child of God. He wants you to start doubting the Lord and his Word. Because if he can, he knows that you can be destroyed. But God doesn't want you to do that. When we lack faith, we need to ask the Lord to increase our faith. Would you turn with me now over to Psalms? Psalm 107. As I mentioned earlier, God uses the sea, the waves, and all that to teach us. And I find it interesting that, you know, even in the Old Testament we find this. Aren't you glad that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? I'm glad I can trust him no matter what day it is. Even if I forget to trust him, I can still trust him. Psalm 107, look at verse 23. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. Do we still do a lot of business in the great waters with ships today? You think about those massive cargo ships and all the containers, and there's no telling how many millions, if not billions of dollars are on each one of those ships as far as the worth of the merchandise that's in it. And we see that. We see the merchantmen. They're still wheeling and dealing on the seas today. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. But they that go down in the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord. Did it say saved sailors? Or is it talking about those that are on the sea in general? It's talking about those in general. It's not just talking about those who claim to know the Lord. Those that are on the waters of the sea, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Have you ever been out on the water at night, a clear night, and there's no light pollution, and you can look up into the heavens, and you can almost see the galaxy. You can see all the numerous stars and how beautiful it is. And maybe the Lord will bless you and let you see a comet or you know, a shooting star, and it's just absolutely gorgeous, isn't it? Or how many of you have ever been out in the deep sea and you look out, even at night, you know, there's certain fish, that, of course, they glow at night, some fish, and you see that, and you see them coming up, and they're just some magnificent creation of creatures that God has put in the seas and the oceans. And you look at that in amazement, and you say, wow. And yet people still want to say that we evolved? No, that took an intelligent designer. We have a wonderful creator who created all that. And Psalm 92, does it not draw our attention that the heavens declare his glory? It tells us, hey, there is a God. We need to see who he is. And so God uses this in the lives of people to let them know that he is. They see his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth what? The stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. You want the fear of God? Get out in the sea in a storm. I've been out fishing. I like fishing. In my younger years, I was pretty foolish. I'd go out fishing when there's a storm coming. I lived in Texas at one time, and I was in an aluminum boat, of all things. Here comes a thunderstorm, tornado warnings, tornado watches out. I didn't care. We were going to catch fish. And boy, the waves started rising. And you know, one minute you're up above the waves, and next minute you're like, oh, the waves are going to get me. And it strikes fear in your heart. And then we got the warning that the tornado is on its way. I'm in the middle of the lake like a dummy. Ask my wife. I was a dummy. And, you know, me and a buddy, we were out fishing. And thankfully, we came to an island in the lake. And we just pulled the boat ashore. And thank the Lord, he protected us, even though it wasn't ignorance. It was just foolishness. But he protected us through that and kept us. But boy, he kept me mindful. You know what? You shouldn't have been out here. Yes, Lord. I mean, we just have to learn those lessons that way. But even out in the ocean, there are times it may seem like calm waters, and all of a sudden this wave, this rogue wave comes from nowhere. And you can see the horizon, you can see land on the horizon, but when that wave comes, you can't see anything. And they can destroy you, they can kill you. But God allows these things to happen. And notice that the fear again, the fear is there. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And look at what it says here. And are at their wits' end. You ever heard that phrase before? We use it in our language, don't we? They're at wits' end. They don't know what to do. They're going to try all they can, but they know that something's got to happen. Somebody has to intervene. And that's where we need to realize who to call on. God can intervene. God can stop it. He can say, peace, be still. And everything just ceases. Everything is just as calm as can be. But in the storms of life, so many times we get focused on the waves. So many times we get focused on the wind. We get focused on the lightning or tornadoes, whatever the case may be, and we forget to focus on God. To focus on the only one that can help us to survive it. But God uses this to teach people. God uses this to bring people to a place where they have to cry out. How many of you remember when Jonah ran from the Lord? He fled from Tarshish. He got in a boat. He was willing to pay the fare thereof. He didn't care how much it cost him. He was getting away from God. Didn't want to do what God called him to do. Well, he gets into a ship with a bunch of lost people. Right? He is asleep in the boat. The people that he is in that are in the boat with him, they start calling out to their gods. They start doing all kinds of sacrifices and praying and calling out their gods. And finally, they wake him up. What are you doing sleeping? Call out to your God. Jonah knew why he was there. Jonah knew why that storm came upon them. And he told them, throw me in the water, it's because of me. And do you realize that the heathen had more compassion for him than he had compassion for the heathen? We're not going to throw you over. We don't want to see you die. Christian, have we become callous like that? Have we become so callous that we don't care that the wicked perish? That the wicked are overwhelmed, that they're being engulfed by the waves of this world, and they're surely going to die, but we could care less, we're asleep? I hope not. But it's amazing to me that these lost heathen had more compassion for Jonah than he did for the people of Nineveh. I realize the story behind Nineveh. I realize how wicked they were and the horrible things that they did. But God called him to go to Nineveh. But God used it. He was in a boat. He told them to cast him out, and finally they did. Then what happened? A goldfish, right? No. A great fish. A whale. Of course, people want to mock that. People want to say, well, that's not right. Listen, I believe it can happen. Amen. I believe it did happen. Amen. And God kept him alive. Inside the belly of a fish. Now, if you're familiar with all the gastric acids and things of that nature that are inside the stomach of a fish, or even inside of our own stomachs, it would have eaten him up. It would have devoured him. But God protected him. Yes or no? Amen. And then, to make things better, God caused the whale to vomit him up on the beach. Can you imagine? What a great day. Woo! Yeah! But here it is. God gives him a second chance. Now, I believe that his skin was bleached. Maybe even his hair. But did he learn from it? Yeah, absolutely. He ran to Nineveh after that. But God used that situation with a storm on the sea to bring Jonah about to where, Jonah, you're messing up. You need to be where I'm telling you to go. And you need to have compassion. And he was still mad that the Ninevites turned to God. He was still upset about it. But nonetheless, he learned some things. Now here's the question. Do we learn? You know what the difference between a person that has one black eye and two? Whether he's a fast learner or not. Right? I think you get the gist of what I'm saying there. But sometimes we are so hard-headed. Sometimes God's trying to teach us. God's trying to bring our attention to the fact that, listen, quit worrying about the situation and just realize, I've got you. I'm going to get you through this. By the way, I called you to this. I called you to go through this. We don't like that, though, do we? Well, that's not comfortable, Lord. God didn't call us to be comfortable. He called us to be servants, to be willing sacrifices. Think of that. But they came to wit's end. You know, a lot of times God has to get us to where the only place we can look is up. He's got to get us so far down that we quit trying to trust in anything and everything else, that all we can do is just look up and we'll see him. And we'll call upon him. And our pride, oh my goodness. I know y'all have pride too, right? I said two. My pride can get in my way. I can say, I got this. And I just make things worse. Well, I messed up the first time. I'll try again. I got this. And it just gets worse and worse. And finally, Lord, please. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Look at verse 28. He did all this, and what did they do? Then they cry unto their gods. It says they cry unto the Lord. Do you see that? In their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Aren't you glad that God brings us through? He'll see us through it. I don't care what you're facing. I may not be able to relate to what you're facing. But God can relate to any situation, and he will bring you through it according to his will, not according to our will, according to the end that he decides, not the end that we decide, okay? And it's hard to accept that at times. It really is. I'm confessing. It's hard to accept that sometimes. But God has never failed me. God's never done me wrong. I can't say the same in the reverse. But he is so wonderful. But they call out to the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm. Kind of like what we read there in Matthew chapter 8, is it not? He maketh the storm a calm, and the waves thereof are still. Then are they, those that were in the storm, those that were out in the middle, facing destruction, those that were at wit's end, then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Do we sing a song called The Haven of Rest? That's a safe place. That's a place that's protected from the storms. Paul gave us several examples on his missionary journeys. He faced storms in the water. And he found peace and solace in the haven of rest. And we can too. And he goes on to say in verse 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." That exact same phrase is found a few times in this chapter. But when you look at it, did you praise God for the storm that you were in? Or did we get bitter? Did we have the nerve to tell God, "I don't deserve this. Why did you allow this to happen to me? Lord, if you love me, be careful, child of God." God loves us more than we can ever understand. And love is not always what we try to paint love to be. Love is commitment. I'll see you through it. I brought you through it. I'll bring you through the next one. There's more storms ahead of us, brothers and sisters. Especially in the day and age that we live in. Should the Lord tarry his coming, things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. That means there's more storms coming, more ferocious storms. But God is still able to master them all and can cause peace and tranquility in our hearts, even though we're in the midst of the storm. Can you trust him for that? So when you see what it says there, he brought them to their desired haven. I'd ask you to turn back to Matthew chapter 8, and I'll finish with this. Matthew 8, verse 28. I'm not going to read the whole verse. I'm just going to read the first part of the verse. Remember verse 18, he said, "We're going over to the other side," right? Verse 28, "And when he was come to the other side," did he keep his word? Did he tell his disciples, "We're going over to the other side"? Did they make it to the other side? They sure did. Can we draw hope from that? Can we have peace in our souls about that? Now, he said, "We're going to the other side." They trusted him. They got on the boat with him, the ship with him, right? But boy, when they faced the storm, when they start facing those storms, they're like, "I don't know if we did the right thing, guys. Maybe we shouldn't have been on here." Satan will cause you to doubt. Your flesh will cause you to doubt. But God keeps his promises. If God told you, "I'm going to take you to here, and we're going to do this," God's going to take you to there, and you're going to do that. But in between, there may be things that you weren't expecting. Don't worry, God already knows about it. There may be situations arise that you think, "Oh, I'm going to die in this." Don't worry about it. If God said he's going to see you through, he's going to see you through. Would to God we would all get back to trusting him the way we should. Myself included. Myself included. There are some storms in life I never wanted to go through, don't ever want to go through again. But if he brings me to more, so be it. I'm going to trust him. Because he has proven himself time and time again. God that cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And if you're a child of God, he's going to take care of you. According to his will. And that's where we have the problem, isn't it? "Lord, do it my way, please." You don't really want the Lord to do it your way. I promise you that. But I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe you're in the midst of a storm right now. Maybe you can't see the shore because of the waves that you're in between. Look up. Call out. There's nothing wrong with us calling out to God. God, help me. Lord, increase my faith. Help mine unbelief. Sometimes we need help, don't we? But it all comes from Him. And I'm glad we can call on Him at any moment, any time. But He brought them exactly to where He said He was going to take them. And He's going to do the same for you and I. I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We'll have a small time of invitation. And then after this, we'll take up the prayer requests this evening. I hope you've brought some prayer requests as you ask us to think about. But if God touched your heart tonight, maybe you're facing something and you want to bring it to the Lord, I promise you, He'll receive you with open arms. He wants to hear from you. Would you bring it to Him? Would you trust Him with it? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. Lord, I believe because You have shown me time and time again that You are faithful. And Lord, I know I can trust You, even though there's times that I allow my mind to deceive me. I allow Satan's lies to influence me. Father, You've been faithful. You've never failed. And Father, You have brought me through some great storms in life. And I thank You. I praise Your holy name. Lord, help us all to praise You, even in the midst of a storm. Help us to give You the glory because You are worthy of it. Father, if there's anyone here tonight that needs strength, that needs to increase faith, I pray that You would help them. Lord, work in their hearts. Help them to call out to You, Father. Lord, I'm glad that You will not turn any of us away. You tell us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Father, please hear us. Please help us. I ask this in Christ's name for His honor and glory. Amen. Amen. I hope that helped you tonight and hope you got some things. But God is faithful. I cannot stress that enough. God has taken me to different places in the world. And it's just awesome to see Him the same there as He is here. That I can depend on Him in a foreign country when I didn't know the language. When my wife is giving birth to one of our children, she couldn't speak the language. He took care of us. That was a storm. But He's faithful. And again, whatever you're going through, it's a lot to you, but it's nothing to God as far as it will not overwhelm Him. It will not take Him by surprise. He wants to help you. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's take some prayer requests and let's ask the Lord to answer these according to His will. Again, we can't mention it enough. Let's pray for Pastor Lawson and Miss Linda. Ask the Lord to continue to be with them. Continue to pray for the McLeod family. And ask the Lord to continue to give them strength and peace. Of course, the Alexander family, the Lee family, all have lost loved ones recently. And thank God, the majority of the testimonies are